It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
Welcome back to the next room. It's always a good day when I can step out in my little studio and my puppy's at my feet, so let's hope she behaves, but she loves being in the studio with me. I don't know what it is, but I guess it's cozy. And after we take a walk and I bring her toys out and she has a little blanket under there, she just curls up down by my feet. And so I've really been enjoying having her be part of this. And so just so you know, Mamba is down by my feet right now. So let's just hope all is well and she won't have to get out of here or bark or whatever. But if she does, oh well, it's a live show, right? I am so happy to introduce you to, in my estimation, is a new friend of mine. I met Reverend Rosella Sims through the fabulous Reverend Richard. And Reverend Richard was like, oh, you have to meet Rosella. You'll love her. You'll love her. And you two are two peas in a pod and you're going to have a great conversation. And he was just introducing us. He didn't say, oh, hey, you know, you should have her on the show. He just wanted us to connect and just get to know one another because we're both working kind of adjacent with him on a couple of his projects that he has. And so we met over the phone last week. And I'm telling you, I felt like I knew Rosella for 10 lifetimes. It was so wonderful. So without further ado, let me introduce. She's Reverend Rosella Sims. She's with Unity Ministry. She has done some extraordinary things, which we're going to get to on the show, one of which is she healed herself from a catastrophic illness. So I cannot wait to dig into that. She and I touched on heaven and hell last week, which I was like, oh, we got to save this. We got to talk about this on the show and all kinds of things. So welcome to the show, fabulous Reverend Rosella Sims. How are you?
Wow, thank you. I'm good. I'm great after that.
Well, good. I am just so happy to meet you. So you were a graduate of Unity School for Religious Studies and the University Institute Ministerial Program, and that became your life's work. What did you do prior to that, and how long were you actually an active participating reverend for Unity?
For Unity, I have been active participating reverend for 16 years. Before that, I was a licensed teacher.
Oh, okay.
I had started the program actually in the 80s. And went through my process, which everybody's process is different, and ended up leaving Unity for a time and entering into another seminary program, which I completed, graduated from that, and that was all about healing and spirituality and a lot about energy and different things. So that really helped me. And then all of a sudden, Unity fit again. So I went back, completed my licensed teacher certificate, and ended up pioneering a ministry in Kingston, Washington for 4.5 years before I entered into ministerial school.
Very cool. You know, I have to say, I have mad respect for anyone, man, woman of the cloth. I love pastors, priests, ministers, reverends, whatever, you know, moniker you go by. I've always had just extraordinary, strong presence with people in that realm. Always, from a young girl, you know, from Pastor Ankeny to Pastor Maul to then out to California, Pastor Gloria and Pastor Rick. And now Pastor Dave, just a big fan, because the ones that I have met, every single one that I have met, just has such a beautiful outlook on life and the big picture and God and all of that beautiful, in my estimation, the meaning for why we're here. So thank you for the work that you're doing. And I'm so excited to speak to you. In your bio, Rosella, it mentions that you healed yourself from a catastrophic illness by changing your consciousness. Right off the bat, I'm like, okay, What was it, and how in the heck did you do that?
It was MS, and I basically changed my consciousness. I had to change everything about myself. I think, was the biggest blessing of my life, because what it did was it really showed me how I, the beliefs I had about myself, and how I dwelt in a low vibration all the time, a lower field, where disease is in that lower field. And so it was, I did everything to build the body. I did nothing to tear it down. And so I did, it was the very thing that threw me into this whole new field of medicine that was, you know, alternative medicine. And I just was introduced to so many different modalities and people, and I learned so much. And that's one of the reasons why I ended up going into that other seminary program, because it was all about healing.
Wow.
And I ended up living with a doctor, Dr. Hazel Parcells, after I healed. I lived with her. She was 104 at the time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. She taught me something called radiesthesia, and I learned that and ended up teaching it for a while.
Wow.
So it was quite a journey.
Okay, so multiple sclerosis is no joke. I have a friend that has it and seems to really be managing it well with diet and exercise and positive thinking. Did it actually go away, or is it what they call in remission?
You know, there is no cure.
Okay, that's what I thought.
So it healed.
Okay, so yeah, so your MS healed.
Yes.
Wow. That's just beautiful. I'm going to have to get a hold of my girlfriend and tell her to listen to this show. And she may have to reach out to you, Rosella. So she's doing very well, by the way. I mean, just remarkable. You would never know anything is going on with her. So perhaps she's healed herself as well. Wow. So I love what you said. Where the disease lived was in a lower vibration. So you believe by raising your consciousness into a higher vibration, which is better energy, better vibes, more positive thinking, more blessings, more prayer, whatever it is, that you were able to heal yourself?
Absolutely. I began to work the principles of unity at that point. I had been in unity for 6 years at that point, and I began to work those principles. And it's all about changing your mind and changing your life.
Okay.
So when you operate from that higher vibration, and that's when I talked about with you before about one of the gifts of being a minister is that you get to operate from that higher vibration.
Mm.
When you administer the word of God, you're in a higher field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can only imagine. I mean, I've served in my church, churches along the way, and I've done a lot of, you know, philanthropic work with my church and missions. But I have to say that when I would help pastor with communion, I'm telling you, you feel it. You feel it when that organ is playing and people are singing beautiful hymns and they're coming up to have, you know, the body and the bread of Christ, and you're standing there in your white robe helping pastor, you know, it, you just tingle, like Pastor Rick used to call it, the Holy Spirit tingle.
Yeah.
So I love that. So you mentioned unity principles. What exactly are the unity principles?
There are many principles, but the five basic principles of unity is that God is the first one, that there is one presence and one power in the universe, God the good.
Okay.
And the second one is that within each one of us, we have that divine nature. We have that divine aspect. And it is called, we call it the Christ. In the Buddhism, they would call it Buddha nature.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter what you call it, it's in us.
Okay.
And then the third one is that it is the thoughts that we hold on our mind are going to produce. The law of mind action. And so whatever we think and believe, we're going to see in our reality.
Sure.
And the fourth one is, it is through prayer and meditation that we can change those thoughts. Mm. That we can become aware of those thoughts. We can realize what those thoughts are and change them. And then the fifth one, and probably the most important at this time, I'm really seeing this being practiced, is that it's not enough to know them. We must live them.
Uh-huh. Got to practice what you preach, so to speak.
Yep.
Live the principles. Beautiful. Well, that's really that's a really lovely explanation and very succinct about the unity principles. I love that. Boy, I just had, that brought up, I was thinking about a Bible verse. Which one is it? Is it James or John? There's a Bible verse about ye are gods. Do you know that one?
I don't.
Okay. I know. I was just reading it the other day, and I'm like, ooh, I love that. So, okay. Well, very cool. So talk to me about, I mean, we got into this last week, and in sometimes it can be rather controversial. You know, I was raised in a Lutheran, you know, Christian upbringing. Big fan. Loved it. Loved all my pastors. My folks were really... they were just lovely about it. They just really taught us that there was a deeper meaning and something grander than ourselves, and that we were part of a bigger purpose and a big love. But yet, you know, it was very, very Christian. And as I started to grow and to learn and to listen to other people and other concepts and everything, it really... you expand, you know, you expand as you're here, if you're paying attention to other people. So with that being said, I was raised with a certain understanding of heaven and hell. What is your interpretation of those two places that we give a lot of credence to, especially in the Christian realm?
My interpretation of them is they are states of consciousness, and that we can live them right here and right now. Mm. The hell that so many people are so afraid of and think they're going to, my grandmother was one of them, that's what she told me. She was Catholic, and she told me that when she was dying, she was going to hell.
Wow, what a bummer. Wow, why would your grandmother think that? We have to just take a little beeline.
Because she believes so much in sin, and she believed that, you know, every little thing that she did wrong was sinful.
Mm.
So she lived that. That's what she lived from. And
wow.
That is really a very low vibration.
Yes.
To live from, and a very painful existence to believe that.
Mm.
But I believe that they are states of consciousness, and that we can... Yes, we do have those hellish times in our lives, but we can pull ourselves out of it, like I did with the MS. That was a hellish time when I was first, you know, for years I was sick and going through that. And my earlier childhood and life was very hellish. But, you know, in the Bible, when it's talking about hell, it's actually talking about Gehenna. Gehenna was a valley was in the valley of Ben Hinnom, which was southwest of Jerusalem, and this is where that they would take the refuse and the garbage to be burned from the city. And so in Jesus' day, it was a really smoky, smelly, gruesome place. And it became legendary as a place of human suffering and the eternal fire. And so when Jesus and his contemporaries spoke of what we're now calling hell, they were referring to this infamous valley, using it as a metaphor of what happens inside of us when we go through inner torture.
Wow.
So it's really gotten, you know, we've become very confused about it. And in truth, we all go through that. There's a lot of that going on right now, actually.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing it. you know, so I'm doing this broadcasting every day where I'm asking people to join me and have moments of peace, take a pause for peace, because we have to pull ourselves out of this. And we're the only ones that can do it. Nobody can do it for us.
I love that. So you're doing a pause for peace every day. Where can my audience find this?
They can find it in, I have on Facebook a column called Looking for the Light. Looking to the Lighter Side. It's called Looking to the Lighter Side.
Okay.
And also Transform Myself, a website called Transform Myself. And that's where Reverend Rich and I are doing that. And there's a Facebook page called Transform Myself as well.
Awesome. I love your pause for peace. And so you're using your Unity Ministry background and your knowledge to just have a moment and take me through a pause for peace.
So what I do is I use the Daily Word, Unity's Daily Word, which is a little magazine. It's over 100 years old, and it's wonderful, everyday little intentions, higher vibration, higher intentions, moments of contemplation. And so basically I'll refer to that, and then I will take them through a short meditation and prayer.
Beautiful. I love that. And you just decided that you needed the planet and all of us collectively in our consciousness because of all the heavy, really heavy things that are going on the planet right now. I mean, we're sitting here in the month of August and you know, my goodness, it hasn't gotten any better for us in California. As a matter of fact, you know, we're going back to March as far as the lockdown and in the civil unrest and the aggression and to mask or not wear a mask. And it's just, it makes me very... It's really kind of heartbreaking to watch humanity go through this. But on the other side, I keep thinking we're having a shift. There has to be, you know, all good things come from awareness of maybe something that isn't great, you know. And so I'm really hopeful. Like I refuse to give up hope that we're going to not come through all of this. This nightmare, bizarre 2020 that, you know, has had more crazy memes than I've ever seen. We're going to come through it. And I have to know and hope in my heart that we're going to break through to the other side and it's going to be a valley of peace. I'm just praying. I guess I'm just an optimist at heart and always have been. And I just can't let go of that or I would just curl up in a ball.
Yes. Well, I think there is good news. I do. I do think that we are seeing the results of spiritual work that has been done. And I'll tell you how is that we're seeing it. We're seeing it and that so many people are saying no to it.
Mm.
And that is a very good sign.
Yes.
That's happening because, you know, I when I teach the Bible, I always say to those I'm teaching, don't you just love the Old Testament? And everybody goes, no.
Yeah.
The Old Testament. And I'll say, why? And that's because of all that they were doing during that time, all the killing and the warring and all that stuff. And I said, that's the state of consciousness at that time.
Right.
What it's showing us is the level of consciousness we're at now and knowing that that's not okay.
That's interesting you should say that. I was in a Bible class with Pastor Rick years ago, and we were, you know, going to read the Bible in a year. That was the whole premise of this class that he was having. And, you know, of course, we're reading Deuteronomy, and I'm like, you know, I'm very vocal. And I get to the meeting, and we're going around talking about it, and I'm like, this is not my God. Deuteronomy is not speaking to me. I cannot stand what's going on. And Pastor Rick was so patient with me, and he basically kind of said exactly what you just got done saying. So thank you for that. That made me chuckle because I was having a fit because, you know, I'm sure you've read Deuteronomy. It's not pleasant.
Yeah. Well, there's an interesting story about Deuteronomy and you know, on what they were trying to do with that. I mean, the Bible's an interesting book when you really start setting the background of what was really happening during that time. When you have more of a biblical history, then it really comes alive.
Hmm. Interesting. Going to have to crack open a Bible today. I've got several. Okay, so since we're there, and I love this conversation, the devil. Describe your understanding of this being.
Well, I believe that the devil is what we would call the ego.
Hmm.
So in this human existence, we are of this realm. We are of the animal nature that has evolved. So I love Barbara Marx Hubbard's
yes.
work. She talks about that we are Homo sapiens sapiens. And the Homo sapiens sapien is the one who knows itself. So it's the one who is woken up and is now aware of itself. So there is also that animal nature in us that we're always fighting or in competition with that is there to save us, really.
Hmm.
And it will go to any length to save us. And so, and that means doing things that are not nice and appropriate, too. But the being part of us is the one that has to transform that, has to spiritualize it. And so for me, if you spell the word lived backwards, it's devil. And when we live backwards, then we are living more from that animal or that evil than the evil part of us.
So live, which spells evil, backwards. So if we're living backward.
Lived.
Oh, lived. Gotcha. Devil.
Yeah.
Oh, that it would help if I could spell. Great.
So we've lived backwards.
Okay, so say that again. So lived backward.
When we've lived backward, then we have lived from that place, that animal nature, that evil part of us.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
The part of us that isn't aware yet, the part of us that isn't awake yet, that hasn't evolved yet. I don't want to say it's bad.
Yeah.
Because it's just not aware yet.
Right.
It's still unconscious.
Kind of giving animals a bad rap because
I don't want to.
No, I know, because you know the animals are so pure. You know, I mean, they just are so pure. But I get where you're. I'm picking up what you're putting down here. But I'm sitting there with my little puppy curled up on my feet, and you know, God backward is dog, right? And I always say that God got it right with dogs. You know, unconditional. They always eat what you put in front of them. All they want to do is play and love and poop and sleep. It's just such a simplistic, beautiful life. They're the best.
Unless you mistreat them.
Yes. Oh, true. True.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
So with people that are in that category of what we would call evil, in some way have been mistreated.
Yeah.
Wounded, injured, hurt. I had a large congregation of recovery people in one of my churches, and these were a lot of very injured people, and it was a humbling experience for me. I used to go down to what they would call the little blue house, and this was a little house that first step people would come to, people that would relapse all the time, and I would listen to the story after story after story of wounding and injury and horrific experiences. And we wonder why and how people can want to live so unconsciously. But let me tell you, don't judge unless you've walked in someone's shoes.
Yeah. I'm very familiar with the program and recovery. One of my dearest, closest people that I've chosen to travel through this life with is, you know, has an addiction problem. And, but it's not a problem. It's, you know, he has found a solution. And you're right. It is not a choice. They are not trying to punish you with their addictive behavior. They are not, you know, it is truly a dis-ease, and it is, it's shocking. And, you know, I've went to a lot of meetings and I've read a lot, and it's truly, and most of them in recovery say that unless they can literally find and turn it over to a higher power of their understanding, they will never get well.
Yes. And you know that, Bob and, Dr. Bob and I can't remember the two men that started AA, but they actually had studied Emmett Fox, who was a Unity person, and wrote the big book.
They
wow. Kind of Unity in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, program.
Yeah, it's I'm a fan. I've read a lot and I love the books and I love the purpose, and it's super non-denominational, and it's just really about turning it over and finding what it is inside of you, the good and the decent and the compassion part, and owning your devil side, you know, owning that evil, you know, and then forgiving yourself and picking yourself back up and trying something new. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, my journey of healing with Emmett was the same. I say we're all in recovery.
Yeah. I believe that. I, you know, there are so many, my goodness, just the horrible feeling of shame alone. You know, I think Brené Brown did my favorite little podcast on shame, and, you know, and we all have it, you know, we all have acted in our lifetime in not such a good way, or we have done something that's shameful, and that's a tough one to get to and forgive yourself, and so that you can grow and move on from it.
Yes. And, you know, I think one of the most toxic things we could ever do and say to someone is shame on you.
Could not agree more.
Doing that, I mean, consciously, I just don't think people are conscious.
No.
They're putting shame on them.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It makes me recoil when I hear those words. I'm like, oh, don't do that. Oh, this has been so unbelievably delightful. We're actually getting close to the end of the show already, but you had something else that I love these words on your bio, a consultant and frameworker of the truth. Can you explain to me what that means to you?
Well, I love to sit with people and listen to their story. And then I love to be able to bring out the key elements of it and the truth about it. And so oftentimes people feel so shameful and so bad about what has happened in their lives when they've missed the mark. We call it miss the mark, which is the definition of sin, by the way. It's an archery term. And to be able to sit with someone and to reframe it for them, to help them see that it was just part of their journey and that they're on a journey. And they're on a journey discovering higher truth.
Mm. Reverend Rosella Sims, this has been, I knew it was going to be great. I didn't know it was going to be this great. I have so love this conversation today. If you're interested in speaking with her, you can find her. There's Transform Myself. There's Looking to the Lighter Side. She does a pause for peace every single day. Transform Myself has a Facebook page. As you can hear, as she is speaking with me today, super enlightened, and she is, wow. I am such a fan, Rosella.
Thank you so much. It was fun.
Well, good. Thanks for coming on the show, and thank you to the audience for tuning in to another version of The Next Room. Oh, Roselle, I didn't even get to ask you, what is in the next room for you?
What is in the next room for me?
Like life after this life experience, what is your belief that we return?
My belief is that we go back to one mind. We go back to God, that our vibration, our consciousness just returns back.
All right. I would have been really upset if I hadn't asked you that. Roselle Sims, go back to one mind. Reverend Roselle Sims, thank you so much for joining me on The Next Room.
You're so welcome. Bye-bye.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to The Next Room.